Welcome, one and all, console war veterans and civilian noobs to the 8th episode of the Green vs. Blue podcast. This week's topics, our favorite games this generation. We've got a fun episode for you guys today. We are your host, David Brown, SD Dog, and
PlayStation Pat Fennel.
Green vs. Blue is a podcast where we, your hosts, discuss the two best gaming platforms, Xbox and PlayStation. Pat, where can we find you on social media?
Dave, you can find me on YouTube at Variety Pat. That's VARIOT Y Pat, or on Instagram at PlayStation Pat. David, how about you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube at SDDog. That's SDDAWG, and at Twitch if you'd like at RealSDDog. That's RealSDDAWG. And most importantly, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, you name it, your favorite podcasting service. But check us out on Patreon.com/Green vs. Blue. That's Green vs. Blue. All right, before we actually get into today's episode, I actually want to give a shout out to our very first Patreon ever, Moses Smith, with the $3 dono.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. Thank you, Moses.
First ever official Patreon member. Let's give him a big warm welcome, and let's keep the good vibes going.
Woo! Woo!
All right, so let's get into today's episode. Games this week. Pat, what have you been playing? What you been up to, you dirty rascal?
Dave, back with the PS4, doing some Rocket League. In fact, right before we started this episode, I was streaming some Rocket League over there on Twitch, and those will also be cross-posted on YouTube later.
Yeah.
Don't tell YouTube that, because I'll get in big trouble. There's been a lot of changes with the new free-to-play model. My garage of beautifully curated cars over my 5 years of playing has been completely scrambled, and progress has slowed to a complete stall as everything seems to get skimpier in the game these days.
Pat, let me tell you what I've been playing this week.
What have you been up to?
I've been playing a little, I don't know if you've heard of it, a little game called Halo 5.
Oh, wow. Never... That's a new one.
Yeah, it's a little indie game. No,
you just picked that up? Is that a new release?
For any of our new listeners out there, this is an ongoing joke that we do. I've just been stuck on this game trying to grind for max rank. And I have been actually playing this one consistently. But you know what? I actually have played something new, Pat. Played Among Us, which is pretty popular with all the streamers out there nowadays. And I play that on iOS. It's pretty fun.
I keep seeing memes of it, but I don't know anything about it. I know it's vaguely similar to that PS4 gem Fallout guys.
A little bit in aesthetic. Yeah, the people you play out, the people you play as, the little avatars, are very similar to that aesthetic to Fall Guys. But the game is kind of like, think of it as like the movie The Thing, but in as a game. Like you're trying to figure out who the imposter is, who this villain is, and you have to work on this like remote spaceship while you're floating in space, and whoever you think is the imposter, you try to figure out through means of like witnessing them killing someone or hopping through vents, which only imposters can do. It's a pretty fun game. There's a lot of like chat feature elements involved, so it's a lot of like talking and lying about one another and trying to manipulate people, so it's super fun. If there is any game that you got into because of word of mouth like that, because I had no idea what it was until my wife started playing it, and she's like, hey, download it. I was like, okay.
Did you pick it up on mobile?
Yeah, it's only on Steam, iOS, and Android. So I think they're looking to put it on consoles, but just this wave of popularity has gone over the game recently. And so they're trying to figure out a way to implement like the chat feature because it's so critical to the game, like doing quick chats and stuff. So it's hard to do that on consoles, you know, without a chat link or a little chat pad.
Oh, certainly. So. Certainly.
I could see this game blooming up and a lot of potential going into it, so.
Cool. Well, speaking of booming up, we got a pretty sweet game over here on PlayStation 4 this week. We got Star Wars Squadron. Is it over there on Xbox as well?
I think so.
Yeah. But Star Wars Squadron on PS4, you're flying with an X-Wing, much like the beloved space battles from the old PlayStation 2 game, Star Wars Battlefront 2, but there is a PSVR functionality.
Yeah, that game looks super fun. It's not like a full $60 price, so I'm assuming it's like a pretty rigid experience, you know? You're just in that ship with that cockpit view.
I'm looking to check it out, at least for the PSVR functionality. There was like a short PSVR demo sort of experience that if you had Star Wars Battlefront 2 for PS4, you could do this VR experience with an X-Wing, and I don't really remember the specifics, but it felt like being in Star Wars, so.
Nice.
What's going on over there with new releases on Xbox?
So we actually got some games with gold announcements, so some spooky games. We have Slay Away Camp, Butcher's Cut. We have Maid of Skur. We have Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. And we have Costume Quest. All of those are supposed to be kind of bent toward the horror genre appropriately in October, and you can get those for free if you have Xbox Live Gold. Also, we have Game Pass games this month. Kind of scarce. As I was mentioning last week, we had Doom Eternal as of October 1st. We have Brutal Legend October 8th. Forza Motorsport 7 adding October 8th as well, and Inkenfell on October 8th also. Unfortunately, leaving Game Pass, we have Felix the Reaper leaving the 15th of October, same day. We also have Metro 2033 Redux and Minute leaving, so check those out.
Bummer. Dude, is that is that Brutal Legend the old Xbox 360 PS3 game with Jack Black?
I have no idea. Honestly, I've never heard of that game.
Let me look it up real fast.
Until now.
Brutal Legend video game. Yeah, it is.
Nice.
That's awesome. I would love to play that game. I'm sort of saving it to stream it. But yeah, that's a cool game to check out. Doom Eternal's cool. A big get. So.
Big get. So any for anyone or none of our listeners out there, this is our first episode actually doing it remote. Pat, as you might know, lives up in Northern California, and we're trying to do this remotely, so this is our first attempt. So let us know if we have any feedback in our Gmail, psboxcast@gmail.com.
That's psboxcast@gmail.com.
Pat, what else do we have for PlayStation?
So the other notable PlayStation game releases this week, well, Dave, You gotta grab your mic, your USB mic, to hook it up to your My PS4, because Let's Sing Queen just came out.
Ooh.
And I mean, the Let's Sing games wouldn't normally be notable, but it's Queen, and who doesn't love singing Queen?
I mean, find any drunk white person in a bar doing karaoke to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Legendary. Or Don't Stop Me Now. That's another legendary one.
Don't Stop Me Now. That's the theme of me in bed with the ladies.
All right. Speaking of right. David in bed, One Finger Death Punch 2 just came out. Now, the game kind of looks sort of Flash combat style, but it's also this like rhythm 2D beat 'em up. It's pretty tight style, and I don't know, maybe it's just nostalgia at this point, but it was like a plain white sort of stick character, very much in the style of the classic Newgrounds.com. You ever mess around on that website?
No, honestly, I think maybe like a couple times. It's just like a fever dream of memory, that website.
We were probably at that like fiery, just beginning to hit puberty haze of hormone young children. But it was fun. It was a fun website. Lots of Flash videos, lots of Flash games. Good times. Pre-YouTube. It was probably the best pre-YouTube video site. Yeah. But yeah, then we also got Rogue Company is a nice third-person shooter. Kind of in the style, I would say it's more Payday meets Fortnite. I mean, what doesn't take influence from Fortnite these days? But that's free to play. Looks pretty fun, actually. But might be worth checking out. Doesn't cost a dime. That's it for games this week.
All right, so now we're going to move into our main segment of the episode called Cross-Examination. And for any of you laymans out there who don't know, Cross-Examination is a segment where we take big, relevant news about Xbox and PlayStation when they intersect with each other in the gaming world. We then debate, speculate, or create a discussion of our own, which we think fosters good discourse. So, Pat, what do we got for this week's Cross-Examination?
Well, Dave, this show releases on Monday, October 5th. So we are 29 days away from the Xbox Series X release and 31 days from the release of the PS5. The next gen is here. It has practically arrived. So today, for cross-examination, and many of these games are going to be the first games that, unbeknownst to us at the time of their release, are going to be the first games of the cross-device generation. The streaming generation, perhaps. So, Where do you want to start, Dave?
As the episode is titled, and so current gen faces the final curtain, echoing words from Frank Sinatra. Let's mention some of our honorary mentions of this current gen before we actually get into our favorite games of this generation. This generation has been tumultuous for me. Xbox has struggled with a lot of first-party games. There's just been a lot of good memories as I'm looking back on this. So, Pat, let me list a couple of mine out here. Honorary mention number one. I think we both agree on this one. A Way Out. I don't have too much to say. I remember when it came out, it got a lot of good praise because it was this indie game that EA published that was coming off the heels of Battlefront 2. They needed a good game for their PR, and so this was the game that they needed to get that good exposure for their brand. So I played it. Alicia and I, my wife, played it, and we actually ended up 100%ing it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it wasn't as good as everyone said it was. You know, building it up to be. There were like a lot of bugs in the game when I initially played it that like almost not ruined my experience, but it definitely slowed it down a bit. So I think that one's definitely an honorary mention. It was super unique. I like, the split screen aspect of it, and it's the way it changes horizontal, vertical. You switch roles if you want a different experience, if you want to go back and replay it. So I would recommend it to anyone. I wouldn't say it's like top five for me, but it's definitely one of the ones that stand out in my memory.
It was a fun one. I ended up playing it too. I ended up platinuming it on PS4. With one of our friends, but I was introduced to A Way Out through you, actually, and it was just an incredibly unique game.
Really?
Yeah. I think I had come by your house one day and you were playing it or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And our mutual friend Atkin and I ended up platinuming it together on PS4, and it was just a really cool, unique experience. Doing like couch co-op, we each were playing a character. It was also like watching a movie at the same time, the way the story was set up, but really enjoyable.
Yeah, I think we can both agree that's a game that I think people should check out. Another one that I think we both agreed on was Hellblade. You played that one, correct, Pat?
Yeah, I didn't finish it.
Same, and that was also because of a bug, a game-breaking bug.
Oh, really?
That one kind of ruined my experience a little bit.
What happened?
There was a section that I got to where I beat like all of the main bosses in the beginning, and I was like supposed to get to like the second to last or like the last boss, and you're walking back through like the map, and you're kind of backtracking. So as you're backtracking, this door's supposed to be open after you beat the certain boss, and it didn't trigger for me, and I spent like hours and hours trying to figure out if it was just me, if I did something wrong. But then I like through extensively like researching it, people say like, yeah, just for some people like, the door won't open or whatever. So I'm like, oh, great. Now I have to restart the game and like beat it in a different way or something. So I haven't gone back to it, but just the story like was super immersive, and like the headphone aspect of it, like the, what's her name? Senua. The voices in her head are super, I don't know how to explain it. They're pulling you into the experience of the game by like making you feel like you're going crazy along with her. So I really like that aspect of it.
So I think it was like the real first 3D audio that we had last generation. I guess that's going to be kind of inherently built in to the PS5 audio. I'm not exactly sure about Series X in that regard. But yeah, Senua, the main character of Hellblade, what I think was suffering from schizophrenia. And there's no HUD in the game. And so there was all these voices, and they'd say, like, oh, behind you, too. And so the voices are sort of telling you about enemies from behind you, or where to look, or where to go. Some of them are misguiding. And it was really trippy. I sort of had to leave it for that reason, but I got maybe 5 hours in, and I loved it.
No, I'm definitely excited to go back to that one. I think I'll go back to that one around the time the second one comes out, which will be Xbox exclusive, so I'm really excited for that, whenever that comes.
Yeah, that was maybe the first big get for Xbox in terms of their Bethesda get that we discussed last week. But the follow-up to Hellblade 2 is a really big draw towards Xbox, at the least.
Mm-hmm. Pat, let's talk a little bit more about our mutual decisions here on our honorary mentions. I'd say Pokemon Go. I'd say I just put that one down on our list. I know you'd probably agree with that one. And I know it's kind of cheating because it's a mobile game. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about that game's impact on just the gaming sphere.
I think it brought a lot of people in when that game, 2016? Summer of 2016 when Pokemon Go came out?
Yeah, I remember the day it came out, man. Like, I downloaded it, and I walked outside, and there were already people playing, and, like, got, like, mutual nods, like, oh, yeah, Pokemon Go.
It was unbelievable. Like,
that was, like, the biggest cultural phenomenon in terms of, like, gaming that I can recall. Even you compare it to Fortnite, just... Sure, Fortnite's a game that blew up like crazy in crazy ways, but you can't really compare it to like the social aspect of it that Pokemon Go had.
Nobody stormed Central Park and stopped traffic in New York City running to try and catch an item in Fortnite. But to catch a rumored Vaporeon that I guess didn't even spawn, and someone just yelled some rumor and people stampeded. That's the worst of it. But rumors were just flying when that game came out. There was people on literally every street corner.
But yeah, I think that's a game that I think we should at least mention, even though it doesn't have anything to do with consoles. I think it's just, you know, one that we can't forget.
No. It should be in more top threes of the 2010s list.
Yes. But moving on, Pat, last but not least for our mutual agreement here, PUBG, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. We're just talking about Fortnite, but for me personally, I think PUBG has given me a lot more memories for the best battle royale experience, at least this generation.
PUBG was the original phenomena. That's why I felt I had to mention it. You're going to see Fortnite everywhere, but the heat that many people experienced of discovering Fortnite, discovering a battle royale game, David, you and I experienced that with PUBG, and battle royales completely changed the gaming landscape. And I would say PUBG and Fortnite, two games completely changed the gaming landscape as we know it, created a new genre in itself, which is inherently going to spawn subgenres.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that they were the first to really popularize that genre. And again, speaking to my own personal experience, like, I've had just really good memories playing it on Xbox of all platforms, even though it's been a buggy mess for a few years. But just that's kind of part of the reason why I liked it. It's just it serves for so many good, you know, clips of you like falling through the map or like falling through a building or something or getting stuck in a building, and like it's frustrating and funny at the same time, which is also the reason why it doesn't fall into my top five, is because just the bugginess of that particular rendition of PUBG has really prevented me from putting it into like the top five. But
still worth mentioning and acknowledging as a great game.
But Pat, I know on the PlayStation side, you have a few honorable mentions.
Yeah, so I would say first off, Until Dawn, choose your own adventure, story, and there's 8 characters, your classic Cabin in the Woods horror story. And what was really cool and notable about it, mainly, was that there's 8 characters. All of them can live, or all of them can die. There's some cheap quick time events keeping you from keeping them alive, which can be a little bit annoying, but still a great game, worth mentioning. And then, sort of an upgrade from Until Dawn, even, was Detroit Become Human. And I don't know if it will go down as a very well-remembered game, necessarily. I think it might be included in PlayStation Plus Collection for PS5, but that was also a choose-your-own-adventure, and just has the most incredibly complex branches of what can happen. The 3 main characters that you play as are these androids that look like people and have the same emotions as people. And the game sort of changed some of my opinions about what computers could be and the nature of emotion, and is a really powerful story, no matter how you play it. I saw it played with a couple different endings, 3 different people playing it, and every single ending I saw looked like it could have been the canon ending. So it just shows great care in the story as well.
Nice. And that one's on PlayStation only right now? PlayStation.
So I believe Detroit Become Human is still a PlayStation exclusive. It might be available on PC right now, but the developer Quantic Dream really had a falling out with PlayStation. They made a trilogy of games like this: Heavy Rain, Detroit Become Human, and Beyond Two Souls.
Mm-hmm.
But they really ended up having a falling out with PlayStation. So I think it's most likely that Quantic Dream's next game could in fact be an Xbox exclusive, if it is a console exclusive.
I've definitely wanted to check that one out, but since I'm definitely tied to the Xbox ecosystem, I haven't been able to really get to those. And there's a couple more on your list that I still haven't played. I want to check out.
Yeah, I think you'll probably be able to play Detroit sooner than later. So the next honorary mention, we got Shadow of Mordor. That's a fun 3D hack and slash in the Lord of the Rings universe.
You're talking about the first one, right?
Yeah, the first one.
I played that one too.
Great game. And the coolest part was the battle system.
Yeah, no, I loved the way that you could, take down the hierarchy of orcs and stuff. Like, I just spent hours and hours just, like, trying to disrupt that hierarchy. And I don't even think I played, like, finished the main story until, like, way, way later. I just had so much fun just messing around in the open world and, like, trying to upgrade my powers and, like, do crazy, like, assassinations and stuff.
Yeah, there's, like, 4 or 5 tiers of orcs. There was the sort of regular basic orc, and then there was leaders, and then the chiefs, and then the warlords. So,
and then the master chiefs, right?
Come on. All right,
podcast over.
That's it. We're going home. See you next week. No, but the battle system, if one of the orcs killed you, then their, like, rank would go up, and it was just awesome having that element.
So cool.
I think everybody in the industry and many fans thought that all games were going to sort of adopt that battle system, and I really wish they had. But what a fun game for that reason.
Yeah, I liked how you didn't mention the Shadow of War, because I think that game got in a little hot water because they added microtransactions to the single player experience, which was like something that totally left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So I definitely agree that the first one was more memorable than the sequel, because it lacked that.
I think that's broadly true. I still haven't dove in all the way to Shadow of War,
but I do remember there was that controversy surrounding it, at least at launch. I don't know how the game is now, but
me neither. But speaking of Shadow of War, we're going to be talking about that a little later on.
So, Pat, do you have a couple more you want to mention here?
Yeah, a couple more. Quick shout out to Ratchet & Clank. That's like a Pixar. If you don't know Ratchet and Clank, there's a movie. That duo's been around since PS2. Really, the duo, the game.
The duo's been more iconic than Indiana Jones and his whip.
Perhaps, no.
name a more iconic duo. I'll wait.
Bold statement, my friend. Bold statement. But Ratchet and Clank got me into the PlayStation ecosystem and has really been the super glue that's kept me around this whole time. But besides that, Death Stranding, what a wholly unique game. And
that's on my list, man. Once I get into the PlayStation, once I buy a PlayStation 5 at some point here, that's on my list.
Well, once I get a play, if I beat you to it, you can use my PS4 and boot it up. Cause what a lovely game, and just hit me at the right time in my life. I don't know. I think it came out in the winter, very cold, wintry vibes, very lonely game, wholly unique gameplay, traversal, and yeah, special shout out.
Hideo Kojima, Norman Reedus, and Monster Energy. What else do you gotta say?
No joke, if you had to deduce it to three words, it's the weirdness of Hideo Kojima. Norman Reedus is in there a lot, and there's an advertisement for his show on AMC, which makes no sense. The game takes place hundreds of years in the future. Yeah, and there's Monster Energy. Hideo Kojima made a deal with them that he would get free Monster Energy while he developed the game, and he put them in there as energy.
I'd do the same thing.
That was him. It's like a personal nod, so it makes it's not blatant advertising, just cold money grabbing.
Tasteful. Pat, you have a few more here?
I guess the last one, special shout out to Final Fantasy VII Remake. I did mention in a prior episode that was my first big COVID quarantine game, and wow, it was beautiful. And I had some fun. Look forward to the next.
Yeah, that one came out right at the cusp of the pandemic, right? Right when it happened?
About 2 weeks after everything had shut down. So
perfect timing. That and like Animal Crossing, right?
Yeah. But that was also at a time, a week before. When everything first shut down, we didn't know it was going to be closed for 2 weeks. So it was like, oh, am I going to get to play it, or is it going to come out and then I'm going to have to go right back to work? Still, good times.
Cool.
So that wraps up my honorary mentions for the PS4 generation. Dave, what last few games do you have?
Yeah, so these weren't exclusive to Xbox, but a couple other honorary mentions I just want to say. Inside, which is an indie game. It was a side-scrolling platformer, a little bit of dystopian horror genre, and that game was just really good. It's just super unique in its aesthetic, its execution. It didn't quite make it on my list just for a couple reasons here or there. I didn't see a lot of replayability with it. It's kind of like a one-and-done type game, but go check that out, Inside. I believe it's Playdead Studios, same people who made Limbo. Also, want to mention Red Dead Redemption 2. I feel like we just have to mention that game. I have that game, and I didn't fully beat it, like, whatsoever.
It takes 80 hours. It's a lot, at least.
Yeah. But, I mean, how can we not mention this behemoth of a game? Just the beauty of that game when you're in that world. And then following up, you know, the first game, which I played to death, absolutely to death. I think that's all we need to say about that. But let's move on to Pat, our top five, or I guess top 10 favorite games, five each, five for you, five for me.
Let's go through the list of our favorite games of the 2010 generation. Dave, let's just get the two biggest games out of the way. Do I have to ask what was the biggest game of this Xbox One generation, Dave? Do I have to ask you your favorite game?
My personal favorite, and this is kind of cheating just because it's like six games rolled into one. And also coming from your Halo boy, I'm going to have to mention the Master Chief Collection. And this is not in relation to launch day Master Chief Collection, because that was an absolute disaster. The game was a buggy mess. But I see this game as one of those rare redemption stories, kind of like No Man's Sky, kind of like Battlefront 2, where, yeah, the launch of the game was atrocious, but it had a really good comeback, and now it's thriving in terms of just like updates and taking care of the legacy of Halo. As of right now, we have Halo 1, 2, and 3, 4. We have Halo 3 ODST. We have Halo Reach. We have all these features coming to the game. It's getting ported to PC. It's almost being done getting ported to PC, all the versions of these games. So I just think 343 has done a really good job in gaining back the trust of the Halo community in the last 6 or 7 years. And I just had a lot of good memories playing through these campaigns and getting, you know, hundreds of achievements on this game, playing the multiplayer to death. And I think they've just done a really good job in preserving the integrity of Halo. So that's what's made me really excited for Halo Infinite is the Master Chief Collection, how it's been treated. So that's my number one.
Yeah, when the Master Chief Collection was first announced, I remember you telling me about it. And back then, it wasn't even in its final form. It didn't have all the games that are now included. How many games did it have when it came out? Three or...
When it came out, it had... I think it had the original three Halos, I'm pretty sure. It had Halo CE remastered. It had Halo 2 Anniversary, which I actually forgot to mention. The remaster of Halo 2 is phenomenal. The cutscenes are... They still look pretty crazy. Like, crazy good to this day. So yeah, I think it just had like that package in there. And then it was just super buggy. Like, you'd try to get into like a game, it would take you, you know, half an hour, I would hear. I didn't buy the game right at launch because of that. So it was just... anywhere you went on that game was just it was just greeting you with a buggy mess. So
when it first came out, I still couldn't believe how great of a deal it was, and it seems like Microsoft just keeps throwing better bargains with the xCloud streaming and everything. They make a tough case this coming generation.
But yeah, I'm super excited because they've added like seasons, they've added like DLC, like skin, like not DLC, but like they've added like cosmetics to these old games. So they've added just like new stuff to keep it fresh, and like seasons to unlock certain items. They're adding like items to Halo Reach that were rumored to be in the game like 10 years ago. Like, they marketed like this helmet and this armor to be in the game, and now it's finally coming to fruition. So 343 is really like tapping into that like hardcore nuanced demographic of the Halo community, which I really appreciate. So I'm really excited for the future. That's freaking wild. Yeah, no, it's really cool what they're doing. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. And that's why it makes one of the spots on my top five.
Is there a competitive Halo community?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, esports wouldn't be what it is without Halo. Halo 2 and Halo 3 MLG back in the day, that was the most competitive esports. That's almost like how it was birthed out of Halo. First person shooters becoming like this super competitive thing with Call of Duty. You have to lend credence to Halo. So yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea about all that. Very cool.
Pat, let's bounce to you. What was one of your favorite games of all time this generation?
Let's just get it out of the way. Hands down, probably the best game of the generation can't be avoided in any discussion is God of War. I mean, God of War PS4 was a complete reboot of the famous PS2, PS3 generation series. God of War combat, oh my gosh. I remember audibly saying, wow. Feeling the first time I threw that axe in the game. The controls just feel amazing. The sound is perfect. The emotional resonance with his son. Just a beautiful game. Can't be missed. A must play of all time.
Yeah, Pat, I would say that when that game came out, it was the closest I got to pulling the trigger on a limited edition God of War PS4 console.
Yeah, it was a pretty console too. Money.
But yeah, that's definitely like one of my top three games when I get into the PlayStation ecosystem. I'm definitely going to jump into that.
Well, hey, if you buy a PS5 day one, get that PlayStation Plus subscription. You're going to need it no matter what. And you'll get that PlayStation Plus collection, and you can be playing an up-res version of God of War PS4 on your beautiful new PS5. Dave, so what was another one of your favorite games this Xbox One generation?
So this one was actually multi-platform. I think it's on the Switch now, as well as the... I don't know. It's on a bunch of platforms. It was kind of an indie game called Rime. I think I've talked to you about this in the past. This was a 3D puzzle platformer that had a really good story. The aesthetic was, it evoked the Wind Waker, Zelda Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm. With the ships.
But the story...
Chibi style with the ships.
So you're playing as this young boy who awakes on this mythical island in the middle of the ocean, and you're basically trying to find out the truth. But I won't spoil it, but you're playing through the five stages of grief. So each level in this world is a stage of grief, and each level is very unique. And by the time you get to the end of the game, I was bawling like a baby. So I won't give anything away again because the story is that good. So just go check it out. It makes the top five easy on my list.
All right. I didn't know all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good game. Pat, let's bounce back to you. What was another?
The second game on my list of my favorite games this past generation will have to go to the VR, PSVR hit game Beat Saber. Have you been able to play Beat Saber, Dave?
You know what, Pat? I can't even visualize what that game is. I think I've heard of it maybe
once. It's like Guitar Hero with lightsabers. So the notes are flying at you, the song's playing, and you're dancing, and all you see in the VR helmet is these notes flying at you, and you're slicing them with lightsabers, basically.
Oh, yeah, I'm sold.
It's incredible. It's a great workout, for one. So you're playing games and you're getting your workout in. It's like the VR. It's like a natural VR evolution of Dance Dance Revolution. That was quite the wordy sentence.
That sounds fun, though.
Yeah, it's exceptional. It's the killer app for VR right now. If anyone gets a chance to play Beat Saber, take it. Take that opportunity by the handles and swing those Beat Sabers, baby. So, yeah.
Nice.
What else you got over there on Xbox, you sad sulk?
So, speaking of sulking and being sad, along with the feeling of Rime, if you are to ever play the Walking Dead Telltale series, you're going to find yourself in a wave of feels. So the Walking Dead Telltale series, I know it's kind of cheating because there's so many chapters, specifically the storyline, the main storyline with Clementine. That story, I began that game. I think they had them remastered. They were originally on like last gen. They began the game on last gen, the early chapters. But then as it evolved, it went to this generation, and they just ended it a couple of years ago, the last episode. And man, what a ride. If you like post-apocalyptic stuff, if you like those type of choose your own path, you know, different consequences, super narrative driven games by Telltale, go check that out.
Yeah, that was an exceptional series. I played the first three seasons and I have yet to play the last season. What a tumultuous story behind the development of the last season and the fate of Telltale at that time. But
it just, that game really stood out to me because Walking Dead is, I love the comic book series, but that was like the first time we had any type of closure in terms of a full storyline in The Walking Dead. Like at that time, the comic book series hadn't ended. And then the TV series, as we're recording this, is still technically going on. So
it
it's
had
like,
really just kind of started at the. It was only two seasons in when the first Telltale Walking Dead game came out.
But it was nice to get this final season, despite, you know, Telltale being shut down, and then it got reopened again, and they brought like the original people back to finish the game, and I thought the game was not going to get finished after Telltale. We thought it was going to be kaput, so it was really cool. That was just a really cool story all around, development wise, like my personal journey with it, and then the actual story in the game. There's just a lot to cherish for that game. So
Telltale Walking Dead is really the godfather of Until Dawn and Detroit at the end of the day.
Yeah, Telltale has done a lot for that type of game, and it's really made me. I really originally thought those games were super boring, just because it's like, well, there's no real combat. You're just doing quick time events, and you're just choosing, you know, answers to questions and stuff. But once you really get into it, like, I don't know, I learned to appreciate those games, and I have a really soft spot for those games now because of that game. So go check out the Walking Dead Telltale series. Pat, let's bounce back to you. What else we got on your top five?
What are we at? Number three? So the third game on my list, Dave, would have to be Rocket League. What can I say?
See, I might be cheating, because I might just piggyback off of you, and I probably should have included this game. This one probably goes right in between like honorable mention and the top five. Like, it's just smack dab, like, on the border.
I've been playing it more or less for 5 years straight since it came out, and I've put it down a couple of times, multiple month long gaps between playing it after I get a little too frustrated with it, and one of those might be happening again here very soon if I keep being as frustrated as I am with the current season one free to play system. I discuss that a lot in my stream, so go check that out on my YouTube and my Twitch if you would like, if you are so inclined. But overall, what an amazing game. Play soccer growing up, so it is soccer with RC cars. Who doesn't love driving RC carts and cars around? So, yeah, it's kept me hooked. It's easy to pick up and play at the end of a day. 5 minute long matches that often turn into playing 20 matches in a row, but
I'm on a winning streak.
And you can't quit on a losing streak. You can't quit on a loss. So
yeah, man, that game, same here. I've been hooked since I found out from our mutual friend Atkin. Just play, you can play, jump into a game randomly if you're playing by yourself or playing with your friends. It's like almost just as fun, and just the core gameplay is so addicting. Same here, like, I'll have moments where I'll go without weeks playing, but then I'll always come back to it, and there's just like a lot to unlock, and I haven't played it since the free-to-play stuff has happened, so I can't really speak to that, but I just know that I'll always go back to check it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be free to play on PS5, it'll be free on Xbox Series S and X as well. Yeah, I'm sure Rocket League will be around for a while. Great game. So what's next over there on Xbox?
So, again, not an Xbox exclusive. It's on all platforms, but I just want to take a moment to really appreciate Doom 2016. Man, that game, when that game came out, it was so bonkers. It was the exact game that I needed at the time. Like, just give me a game where I can just blow off some demons' heads with a shotgun. Like, just rip people up with a chainsaw. Like, I don't need this, you know, sappy 3D puzzle game right now. I need this crazy, turn my mind off for, you know, a few hours and just shoot zombies or whatever. So, just want to appreciate the graphics, the gameplay. It still looks buttery smooth today. When I went back to finally beat it when the pandemic started, that was the first game I played when my work was like, all right, well, you're going to have to, we're going to have to furlough you for the time being. So the first day I had off from work, I was just like, all right, popped in Doom, just brought down the stress of everything. And I can't wait to get into the sequel. I haven't played the sequel, but now it's on Game Pass, I'll probably check it out. It definitely makes my top list just because of the, just the crazy, unapologetic nature of that game. We just needed a game like that in the present day modern era.
You must have finished Doom 2016 right on the cusp of Doom Infinite then.
Doom Eternal?
Yes, sorry.
Easy to get them mixed up, you know, now that Microsoft owns it. You know, Halo Infinite, Doom Eternal, Halo Eternal, Doom Infinite.
It was quite the Freudian slip, I admit.
But, yeah, it's... I finished it right around Doom Eternal, but I didn't get to check it out just because there's so many games on my backlog as it is, but I'll definitely go and check it out.
And it's coming to Xbox Game Pass, so...
That one makes one of the last ones on my list, but Pat, before we finish it, my list up, I guess we'll go back to you. What else do we got?
So the last game on my list, and perhaps the game that took the biggest impact on me this past generation... Horizon Zero Dawn. And not just my favorite game because the main character Aloy is a ginger as I am. But
hey, if you feel represented, man,
that's fine. Maybe that's subconsciously part of it. I'm not sure. But what an incredible game. The gameplay mechanics with Aloy uses a bow and arrow. You're taking down these giant mechanical robot dinosaurs in the super far-flung future, but humans are in this very tribal state with advanced technology that they don't understand. It's just the coolest vibe. And the gameplay was there to match. The story was there to match. Gosh, probably 9 out of 10 for me. 9.5 out of 10 for me. Gives God of War a good run for its money.
Yeah, as I was saying before, I had like a top three for PlayStation once I jump in. That's definitely up there, along with God of War.
Yeah. We'll look out for Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I believe it's called Horizon Frozen Wilds on PS5. And we also know now that it will be available on PS4 as well. So look for that 2021. I'm excited.
Just to, I guess... preface after the fact, all these games are not in a really particular order. So anyways, here's my last game that I thought that was one of the best of the generation. This one I followed, man, like years before this game came out. I had a coworker of mine bring it to my attention. He's like, hey Joe, check this gameplay out, this trailer. And I was like, oh cool, when's this game coming out? It's like, oh, in like 2015 or whatever. And then like, you know, 2 or 3 years later. So Cuphead, the indie darling of this generation, was a phenomenal game. On all cylinders, it fired.
Perhaps the coolest indie game of all time.
Perhaps. Aesthetically, I don't think any game will match this for a long time. I mean, every frame of this game was hand-drawn, which is insane. The story behind the production of this game, these two brothers... who basically like mortgaged their house to like fund this game, and just how it took off, and the cool relationship they had with Microsoft behind it. And Microsoft, you know, gave them the funds to do it. I think at the end of the day, they gave them that platform, and it came out phenomenal when I waited so long for it, and it delivered and exceeded my expectations. I ended up agonizing for days and days after that game came out, just trying to 100% it, just because it was so hard to beat that game. And I ended up doing it, and I just appreciated every bit of that game, every boss fight, every platforming level, man. There's such a cool like speedrunning community around it too, and I think there's so much positivity surrounding that game. And I think the DLC is coming out relatively soon too, so I'm really excited for that. So that game took the cake as far as like one of the best games I've ever played in my life. Definitely one of the best games of this generation.
They snuck out Cuphead on PS4 back in the first week of August. I suppose maybe a little little belated birthday present to me. I still look forward to picking it up. I'm going to run for the platinum, but God, dude, I don't think I can do it. But Cuphead's 1940 hand-drawn style is one of the coolest, prettiest games.
Yeah, I would just find myself pausing the game at random moments, and every time you pause it, it's a beautiful frame. It's like you can't get away from just the awesomeness of that game. And I really do mean that word, like, awesome. Like, I'm not just using it lightly.
I think we're getting a Cuphead cartoon and everything too, so it's a growing franchise. Yep. That we'll continue to see.
Cool. So that does it for me. Those are my five. Again, kind of cheating. Master Chief Collection, just the story behind them doing that and fixing up the Halo franchise a bit. Rime, The Walking Dead Telltale series, Doom 2016, and Cuphead.
All right. I guess my last game of mention, one of my favorite games of the PS4 generation, would have to be Spider-Man. And what an incredible game. I visited New York probably a total of 8 days there over 2 different trips, and Spider-Man...
You got a pretty good idea what it's like to live there.
Not right? Live there, but... but be there.
Pizza time, baby.
And playing Spider-Man felt like being in New York, just the slightest bit. It actually captured the atmosphere of the city. It was pretty cool. Spider-Man has to be one of my favorite superheroes, so I might be a little biased, but the gameplay was just so honed in. I've never been a fan of Spider-Man games before, but...
Really?
I look forward to Spider-Man Miles Morales.
So yeah, I was definitely a Spider-Man game enthusiast growing up. There was the GameCube Spider-Man based off of the movie that came out, then there was the Spider-Man 2, which is like one of the most beloved Spider-Man games, obviously aside from the Insomniacs, but to see that game do so well, when that game came out, it made me jealous for all the PlayStation people out there, just knowing I couldn't jump into that. But if we're finishing up that top three of mine, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, Spider-Man's up there too. First three games I play.
And I think, well, besides buying Spider-Man, you'll be able to play the other two on PlayStation Plus Collection, which just speaks to overall the streaming generation that we're about to enter. There will be a lot of games that are available.
Cool, Pat. So I think that does it for our list.
That's it. That rounds out my top five. So we got God of War, Beat Saber, Rocket League, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Spider-Man.
And if you guys have any thoughts about our list here, or want to disagree or fight us, do it through our email, not in person. PSBoxCast@gmail.com. That's PSBoxCast@gmail.com.
Yeah, hit us with your top five games, maybe, of this PS4 and Xbox generation. And we'll see you in cross-examination next week. So let us head into our fast-fire news. So this week, first off, leading off, we have a list of about 20-plus games that have been confirmed to have free PS5 upgrades. So I think the first and most notable will be Cyberpunk 2077, which comes from the makers of Witcher 3. Both of those games have been confirmed to have free PlayStation 5 upgrades. And props to CD Projekt Red for being so supportive and consumer-friendly in that regard. So then we also have Control. David, you played Control.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about it on the show. Play Control. Definitely appreciated that game, and I want to go back to it if they ever fix their whole Ultimate Edition debacle.
I played the intro of it, and I plan on restarting it and playing it again one day when I'm more in the mood for it. I just didn't happen to be when I first picked it up that first time. But that game, Control, I think really deserves to be on the next-gen consoles and will properly run on the next-gen consoles. I know it had some problems with being slow or what may have you, having a choppy frame rate, because the console, the PS4 at least, just couldn't keep up with running the graphics. We've talked about some other games that come with various free PS5 upgrades, and we will keep you updated on that as the list becomes more solid. It's just still really uncertain at this point, less than a month away from the release of the next gen. So also strangely, on my own PS4, there's been a lot of VR games with mysterious updates, very irregular updates that happened in the last week when there have been no updates for a year or two at a time in many of the games. But that might be an indication of PSVR games that are going to be upgraded and run better on PS5. So that'll be pretty cool.
Nice.
Then, of course, Black Ops Zombies was confirmed. We're going to have a big reveal. I'm sure we will cover that and everything else when Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War releases later this year. All right, finally, published on filmstories.co.uk, a Spider-Man Ultra HD 4K pack is being launched for PS5 owners. And David, Sony's getting a little nasty, playing from shooting from different angles.
Getting a little dirty.
Yep. On this bundle of three films, we got Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Three exceptional films, if I do say so.
Nice. I mean, those are all good movies.
Good films. But the craziest part is that the banner on the box says PS5 4K Movie Essentials.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to leverage.
Yeah. So Sony does own a stake in Blu-ray discs. They own the Spider-Man film rights, so it makes sense that they would put this banner on the box. But Dave, I got a question for you. Is the upcoming first game streaming generation, is this just what Xbox tried to give us when they announced the Xbox One?
Kind of like this all-in-one TV, like, streaming type thing?
Yeah.
I don't really know what they were trying to do. I feel like they were just trying to cater to, like, the entire family, like, this Xbox to replace, like, you know, your any other entertainment device. They were trying to make it, like, this gaming system / Kinect thing for the family, like the Wii, and then they also tried to like make it like Apple TV. Like, I don't know if they were exactly going for what you're saying, but I don't know.
The box that they were trying to present back then with, oh, you don't trade your games, it's mostly just codes and downloads anyways, I think is what is finally coming to fruition now. And maybe it took near a decade for Microsoft to see the faults of streaming services and the marketing of streaming services.
Yeah, I think that was the main thing, that they didn't market it as well as they could have. Now they're in a position where they can market it as like, hey, we're game-centric now, we're gamer-centric now. Now let's move forward with that idea, rather than, we're just trying to sell you a TV box.
But I do think the thing that they were trying to sell us back then is just exactly what we're getting now. The messaging changed, but the system didn't.
That's a good point.
It's gotten better, and it will continue to get better, but I think it's still the same. All right, so that concludes the Fast Fire news this week.
Yeah, let's move into our rotating segment. This is a, Pat, I think as this is a heart warmer of the week, so we're looking at a good story. The segment's called Age Like Fine Wine. So Pat, take it away.
We're bringing back a segment finally. The old heart warmer of the week. All right, so the heart warmer of the week is a Shadow of War. As we were discussing earlier, Shadow of Mordor made the honorable mentions list of our top games of the generation. And the sequel to that in this Lord of the Rings universe, the Shadow of War game, maybe not a good game, but we did get a heart warmer of the week this week from it. So this story came from all the way back in 2017. And a Shadow of War developer who died was immortalized in the game as an orc. So I'll go ahead and read the quote. A Shadow of War developer who died of cancer has been immortalized as an orc slayer in the game. Monolith executive producer Michael Forgey, who died from a brain tumor last year, aged just 43 years old, appears in Shadow of War as DLC character Forthog Orcslayer. If you have the £3.99 DLC, Forthog will on occasion appear to one-hit kill whichever enemy the player character is up against. WB Games will donate $3.50 of every Forthog Orcslayer purchase to the Forgey family through the 31st of December 2019, Monolith said. That article came over there from over there at Eurogamer by Wesley Yinpool. So yeah, Dave, what do you think about a lovely contributor to the Shadow of War being immortalized in the game?
Yeah, I guess I must have missed the story just because I was mentioning before what was mostly in the news about this game was negative and referred to the unwanted microtransactions in a single player game. See them seeping into a lot more types of games that typically don't have them. So I missed the story, but I'm glad that we brought it up now because it really does warm my heart and make me feel better about the this game, at least. Like, this person obviously succumbed to cancer and they died, but they got a really cool token of appreciation and they're immortalized in a game, which I think that's all I can ask for. I think when I die, I want to be immortalized in a video game. that's how I want to be remembered, at least. If someone would put me in a video game, that would be a high honor.
It is pretty cool, and I think, as a fan of video games, I think many of us would love to be in a video game. And I think it's also pretty cool. Props to Monolith for donating back the earnings to the family of Michael.
Super cool story.
It said he was a father of three. Hopefully some college educations are paid for.
Awesome.
Hopefully three college educations. That's the heart warmer of the week. And that's I think that's it, Dave. I think that wraps up the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we had a pretty good show. Talked about, you know, all of our favorite games this generation. It's been a you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys, as I like to say. I'm excited for what's in store for next gen, and hopefully make some good memories.
It'll be interesting because this is the first generation where many of the games that we're sort of perceiving to leave behind that have been our favorites from this last console, they're still going to be available for the most part as we take this step into the first console gen of the 2020s.
All right. Well, we're staring in the face of the final curtain, and we did it our way, as Frank Sinatra would say. But anyways, guys, that's it. We have been your host, David, SD Dog, and
PlayStation Pat.
Green versus Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, or heck, your favorite podcast streaming service. You can directly support us by heading over to patreon.com/greenversusblue. That is patreon.com/greenvsblue. And you can find me personally on YouTube, SD Dog. That's SDDAWG, or Twitch if you'd like. Real SDDAWG. Pat, where can we find your individual socials?
You can find me on YouTube at Variety Pat. That's spelled V-A, Riot, Y, Pat, or on Instagram at PlayStation Pat.
And if you guys have a burning question or comment about today's show or any part of it, or if you just have anything to say in general, just hit us up at our direct line at psboxcast@gmail.com. That is psboxcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next time.
Nice.